Christian Church Disciples of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here. Yes, we are. We are here and we're waiting for you. Come on in. Come on in.
Well, we certainly hope that you are having a great day today, and we praise God for each of you. We are certainly excited about being on the Lady Kim Bible Study Talk Show. And we give God praise, honor, and glory. Y'all let us know you're getting a clear signal tonight. As you can see, I'm still a little bit under the weather, but I've tried my best to press my way today. This has probably been one of my better days since Wednesday. But I'm thankful for a praying church and for a first lady and for executive pastor who's a praying, anointed and appointed, directed and selected pastor to ATOP. And I'm just excited about what God has in store. And I tell you, I couldn't hold my peace yesterday. Let's not start right there. But what a word on yesterday. So y'all let us know you're getting a clear signal and that everything is coming in and that you can hear us fine as we prepare for this time together tonight. Very interesting topic of scripture. Did I say that right?
Yes.
We're going to look at tonight. A very familiar one as well is 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I'm sure that each of you have read this scripture once or twice or maybe several times. And we want to just dive in. And my good friend John Tunstall is on. I think he did a sermon back a while ago, Lady Kim, entitled, What's Love Got to Do with It? And so several people had mentioned, you know, we're picking different topics to discuss in terms of what people wanted to hear and what they wanted us to talk about. We might not get to all of them, but trust me, we'll try. But we're going to talk about that love chapter, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians tonight. But before we do that, let's have a word of prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. Father, we're extremely grateful for this day that you've included us in, and we yet give you praise. We thank you, dear Lord, for your keeping power. Thank you for healing and delivering and setting us free. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up right early this morning.
Yeah, Lord.
And here we are now, clothed in our right minds. And so, God, we thank you for how you bless us, even in spite of ourselves. We thank you for each person that's going to connect to this streaming of our Bible study tonight, and we pray your choices, blessings to be upon us.
Yes.
We understand clearly that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and so we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our faith is going to increase.
Yes, Lord.
As a result of us spending this time together. So God, now we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Yes. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, and those who love God said amen.
Amen, amen.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, a powerful word on yesterday. And I know it was one of those sermons that you put in the microwave, you reheated it, mm-hmm. You put it in the oven, and after you took it out of the microwave, and you put a little sauce on it. But that was a word yesterday, Lady Kim.
And praise be to God.
And the Lord used you mightily. And we're excited that you're able to stand tall and decree and declare the word of God. And you told me on Friday, you looked at my face, and I guess you could see it was written all over my face.
Yeah, I knew you couldn't make it.
You said, I'm going to go ahead and reheat that little sermon I did for the prayer breakfast. And I tell you, if I can be honest with you, I believe you had a little bit more sauce on it than you did that Saturday. But both of times that you preached it, you twisted some things up in
there.
I did.
I added some things to it and took a couple of things out.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, that was a powerful word, talking about prayer as our spiritual anchor. Was that it?
That's it. Prayer, our spiritual anchor.
And so we've been weaving in and out for the past couple of months talking about prayer. And then last week, for those of you who were with us, we talked about understanding the power of prayer and how essential that is for believers, particularly when they're going through adversity. Mm-hmm. And little did we know that we would be faced with an adversity, and how the power of prayer stepped right in and provided for us what we needed. And you were the chosen vessel. And God used you in a powerful and a mighty way. See how humble she is, but I'm telling you, she's not like that around here. She's trying to act like that, but she's not like that. She got a Chicago streak in her that won't let her keep still. See there? That South Side. Can you say South Side?
South Side.
Okay, so she's being real nice. But no, Lady Kim, seriously, a great job yesterday.
To God be the glory. And I'm thankful.
Yeah, I think even though we reached a broad audience for the prayer breakfast, you reached an even broader audience through the network for those who didn't get an opportunity to hear it on that Saturday.
That's right.
And yeah, it was a great word talking about prayer and really kind of sealing that for us and understanding how important that us for us to know that prayer is indeed the anchor, the spiritual anchor that we need. Is that right?
That's right.
So I was trying to pull it up here.
Came from Psalm, the 55th chapter, verse number 1. And then verse number 17, you know, there's a lot in between, but I wanted to use those as the bookends for what I was talking about, you know. And Psalm 55 and 1 says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication.
Right.
And then verse number 17 says, evening, morning, and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And then I talked about some prerequisites to prayer, you know, a few prerequisites. These aren't the only prerequisites, but I think these were the most important prerequisites, because you back it up with scripture. And that's the prerequisites to prayer are clean hands and a pure heart.
Okay.
And I looked at Psalm 24, verses 1. Verses 3 and 4, I'm sorry, Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4 says, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. So I talked about how clean hands and a pure heart are a prerequisite for entering into prayer. And so how do you get clean hands? clean hands and a pure heart. How do we get that? And the one way we can get that is through repentance. Asking God to forgive us of our sins. And so we need to go to God in prayer. The first thing we need to do is acknowledge God as our Father, and then repent of our sinfulness. Before we even start asking for anything, petitioning for anything, thanking God for anything, we need to acknowledge God as our Father.
That's right.
And then we need to ask him for forgiveness of our sins. Because you know what? We've said some things. We've done some things. If we didn't say it or if we didn't do it, we thought some stuff wasn't right in God's eyesight.
That's right.
And so we have to ask for forgiveness. And asking for forgiveness is not enough. We need to be truly sorry and turn from those things. So, you know, the prerequisite for prayer, clean hands, pure heart, and repentance. And then I talked about exactly what prayer was.
Okay.
And broke that down for them, that prayer is talking to God. Prayer is spiritual. Prayer is God talking to us. And that prayer is powerful. So, you know, when I touched on those things, I don't think I was telling anybody anything new. I was just bringing it to back to their remembrance on what we need to do. And sometimes as people of God, we get in a habit or a routine and we go from day to day. And some of us don't even go for days without even praying.
Wow.
You know, if you go a few hours without praying, you know, you need to get back on
anything
track.
Anything could happen.
That's right. So, you know, the Bible says pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So pray without, how can you pray without ceasing? Just like you breathe without dying.
Okay.
You know, you stop breathing every few seconds. You know, you take a breath, then you rest. You inhale, then you exhale. But you never stop breathing. But you take a breath, a rest in between. So that's how it is with prayer. You pray, then you rest. Then you pray some more. Then you rest. Amen. So pray without ceasing.
That's good. Because really, it should be something that's a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And how we don't have to have the right words or mm-hmm. the right placement of scripture in order for us to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just sharing with God, you know, in a regular conversation like we have with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that it's unique and that it's different because it's spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, we should always be in an attitude of gratitude, and we should always have our mind set on just thanking God for all that he's done. And I always say, Lady Kim, before we get in a hurry to ask God to do something for us, we need to thank him for what he's already done.
What he already done. Amen.
You know, and you know that I think that releases a whole lot in the heart of God when we come to God without trying to have a laundry list of needs, but we just say, Lord, I just want to thank you for what you did yesterday.
Amen.
And thank you for continuing to supply my needs.
Amen.
And I just thank you for how you brought me out of that situation that I didn't even know was going to happen. But you're just that good and that kind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost like when you have kids and you you know, you help them out, you try to extend yourself to them, and they don't come back and say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That really kind of freezes my whole attitude, and it shouldn't, but it freezes my attitude because I'm not in such a hurry to try to move forward because they have not really expressed a genuineness of what they've already received.
Amen. Amen. So we need to remember,
excuse me,
when we pray, amen, to tell God thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. And so, you know, we talked about how powerful prayer was and that there's even power in prior prayers.
Right.
You know, and I like that about God. That just like sowing seed, when you throw some seed out there, that whatever it is, it's not going to come up in a few minutes. It's not going to come up in a few days. Sometimes it might take weeks.
Right.
But you will eventually see something grow if it's good seed.
That's it.
Amen. And so it is with prayer. You can sow some prayers and they won't come to fruition for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it might take years. And so I just thank God that we had, some of us had parents that prayed. Some mm-hmm. of us had grandparents that prayed specifically for us.
That's right.
When we were out there doing our thing in the world and acting all crazy, they were praying for us. Somebody was praying for me. And I know somebody was praying for you too. And so the prior prayers of the righteous availed much. And so I just thank God for prior prayers. Prayers that went up for me when I didn't even know people were praying for me. They were praying for me, and I'm here today because of somebody's prior prayers.
That's good. Then Kim, I certainly hope that you don't come down with this cough, but you've been suspiciously shielding yourself from me, but I understand, and I do encourage you to do that, but I hope this doesn't get on you.
I've been spraying Lysol too.
I know, I've seen it. And so, but no, that's part of why I didn't want to come yesterday, because I didn't want to be in the sanctuary coughing and everybody looking over there at me thinking I got the COVID. But I did the test and all of that. So
no COVID. Thank you, God.
But no, Lady Kim, excellent job. And I know even when you talk about those prior prayers, you mentioned about slow, go low, or something like that. How does it go? We might have to add something else.
No. Slow.
Slow.
Grow. Flow.
Flow. All yes. Right.
Sometimes God says no.
Right.
You can't have that.
Right.
It's not good for you. Sometimes God says slow. You need to slow down because it's not time yet. You got to wait. Slow down. Sometimes God says grow. You got to grow in that situation. You got some lessons that you need to learn and you need to grow from it. And then once you grow, it's time to flow in whatever God has for you. And so, yes, I did add that on yesterday.
Okay. They said I can go and get in the bed, Reverend.
No, they didn't. They said, get well soon,
they said,
Pastor.
You got this.
They said, get well soon and come back in a hurry.
So, no, that was a powerful word, and we thank God for how he continues to bless us and how he always has what we need when we need it.
Amen.
That was a timely and a needed word. And, you know, for the ones who were not able to be at the prayer breakfast, nor were they online to hear something that powerful, I thought it was a very timely word for us yesterday. And you never can hear enough about the power and the presence of prayer and how we serve a prayer answering God.
Amen.
Somebody might be on the call tonight and you're seeking God and you're asking God to do something powerful in your life. And God might be saying no. He might be saying, well, just slow down. And then he might be saying, what's the other one? Go. Slow.
No, slow.
You go. Somebody help us, old folks.
It was no, slow, grow.
Flow. Okay.
You had me gave me a senior moment there.
So some of us might be in a place where God has not fully released us to go to the next level. And so we have to continue to know that it's not God's desire to hold back any of his promises from us, but he wants us to be ready for what he has in store for us. And many times it's not God doing something in somebody else's life.
Right.
Oftentimes he's trying to do something in our lives so that we might be ready to fully appreciate and not lose the blessing that he wants to give us.
Isn't that right? That's right.
He wants us to flow in it.
Yes.
And he knows that once we receive it, it won't blow our mind.
Right.
Because the truth be told, and if some of y'all won the lottery, it's gonna be real strange, you know, in Memphis. And so
God, it'd be real strange at ATOP.
I know. God wants this thing to be done right.
Oh.
I'm not advocating and I'm not saying go pray and ask God. You probably already done that already. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you're not doing well with the $1,000 that you already have, it's going to be very interesting in terms of your behavior, how you're going to respond with $1 million.
Amen. So you saying if I'm not a $100 right now, I ain't going to be no millionaire.
No.
If I'm not doing right with $100
right.
I got, I'm not going
right.
to do right with $1 million.
Right.
And God knows that.
That's right.
God said, grow up, huh?
Yeah.
Now,
you go, if you win, we're going to bring your 10. By all means, we can go ahead and continue to build.
Oh,
we can continue to flow in the things of God because there's so much ministry that can be done. You hear me?
Amen.
And there's so much work that needs to be done. The harvest is plentiful.
Yeah, but the laborers.
The laborers are few. And so we're in the business of trying to help and develop and nurture a spirit of hope and healing for all people.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So I think once we are able to provide that, then it's not about numbers. It's about meeting the need.
Amen. And I think people get focused on money and dollars. God just says, do the work.
Right.
And he'll provide.
That's right.
So we need to do the work. Put forth our effort to do the work. and watch God show up and show out.
That's right.
In a powerful way. And I think ATOP has been so blessed by God because we do the work.
We just do the work.
We try to do the work. We reach right. out to those in need. We try to minister to those within our congregation. We go outside our four walls. So I think we've been blessed and highly favored because God knows our hearts. He sees our hearts. He knows that we're trying to do a work for Him. And because we do a work for Him, He provides the resources that we need.
That's right. And so we ought not take for granted leadership that's trying to do the right thing.
Amen.
And God honors that. And many times we come to ministries with, hurt and shame from things that have happened in the past and try to hold that, bring that baggage with us mm-hmm. and never be able to release it because we always suspect about something happening in terms of the money, in terms of whatever it might be. But we have to trust God. God will protect His own, and then He would supply for our every need according to His riches and glory. And so even if there is a corrupt situation, God's going to handle that situation. And we just have to. That's why it's important to uphold and uplift the leadership.
Amen.
You know, we haven't ever confessed that we are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're tempted with the same kind of temptations that you are.
Mm-hmm.
But we try our best to do what's right by God and do what we feel is pleasing in His eyesight.
Amen.
And it's been proven over the past 24 years, going 25 years.
Almost 25 years.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And
Actually, if you think about it, this month is when we actually started. That we started formulating and meeting as you know, the 12 people came together in August.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had our inaugural service in January.
And that's something.
This month is the month.
We were planning and strategizing.
So this month, it really is our 25th year, our hallmark 25th year.
And so we have some things on the horizon for the grand celebration that we're going to have next year. It's going to be a year-long celebration, all year long. And so we're looking forward to people really catching that.
Amen.
If you give God your best, God will give you His best back.
Amen. Yes,
you can't be God's giving no matter how hard you try.
No matter how hard.
So Amen. The more you give, the more He'll give to you. And we believe that, and I hope you receive it. Just keep on giving even tonight because it's really true. And when you find a place where you is good ground, that's a good place to plant seed and watch God develop that seed among you.
Amen. So we had a great time on yesterday.
That's right. That's
with
right.
With prayer. And as people of God, we should never cease praying.
Okay.
Amen. Always continue to pray.
All right. Well, tonight we're going to look in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And really, sometimes we allow this scripture to be separated from everything that's happening in front of the text and
right.
behind the text.
Right.
But it's a very valuable lesson that helps us. Where are you going? Don't run off. It's a very valuable lesson that helps us understand how the whole focus came into existence around 1 Corinthians 13. We've heard it read at weddings, and of course we've read it ourselves, but when you take any scripture out of context, you lose the essence of what God is trying to get you to see.
Right.
And what it was talking about then, and then that's when you ask God to give you clarity in terms of how it can be applicable to your own situation.
That's
you want to give us a little background before we just jump right in, Lady Kim?
Well, much of 1 Corinthians 12 corrects misunderstandings about spiritual gifts among the Christians in Corinth. And so, Pastor talked about we have to understand what happens in the beginning. So
you're
before
going back
13.
To 12. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so in 12, it's correcting that those misunderstanding about the spiritual gifts.
Uh-huh.
You know, and some believers were saying, well, I speak in tongues or I prophesy. And they were saying that those gifts were more spiritual than others. And then, you know, it created a division in the church, and it, not only a division, but it created jealousy and sometimes a sense of inferiority.
Okay.
And so chapter 12, where it leaves off, it goes in to chapter 13, where it talks about love.
So it 13 really starts in chapter 12.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Right.
And it was a lot of confusion around spiritual gifts just as it is today.
Right.
Isn't that
right? That's right.
And I think we try to look at people based upon their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to put them in a spiritual class, or we try to put them in a category.
Mm-hmm.
Based upon their expressiveness of their gift.
Amen. That's right.
But that created a lot of confusion then, and it creates a lot of confusion now.
Mm-hmm.
And just because a person is able to speak in tongues or able to prophesy or to
teach well,
uh-huh, mm-hmm, we kind of open the door and you know, give them carte blanche. But that is not the model, nor is it the protocol that God establishes as it relates to spiritual gifts, because people leave more confused than they do helped. And so we're not trying to hurt people, but we're trying to help people gain clarity and understanding about how they can use their gift to help edify the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an individual trying to see how they can use their gift in an individual way to lord it over somebody else. But as God said, if it's done in unison and it's done in such a way where all of the gifts are working together, then you would see God move in that situation in a powerful and a mighty way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what else do you have there in terms of just kind of opening that door for the reading of 1 Corinthians, even though it talks about love and how profound that is for the believer today?
Mm-hmm.
He's using the analogy. Do you have your 12th chapter available?
Mm-hmm.
See how that 12th chapter ends, if you can back up few verses of that 12th chapter. For those of you just joining us, we're in 1 Corinthians. We're going to the 12th chapter, the latter part of the 12th chapter, but our study is in the 13th chapter. I'm talking like this because Lady Kim choked me out. For those of you who didn't hear what happened, that's what's
going on. Oh, Lord. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, the 27th verse. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way.
Okay, I show you a more excellent way.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying there that even though there's greatness in all of those gifts, there's one that's a more excellent way,
mm-hmm,
to pursue.
Absolutely.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Paul is describing, when he's describing love, it's not the kind of love that's the mushy gushy gushy kind of love. You know, it's unconditional love. And it's not the kind of love that can come and go, you know, but it's God's love. The way God loves us, from the Greek word agape,
okay,
often described as unconditional love. So unconditional in the sense that it doesn't depend on me being loved, but it's a commitment of love, or an act of loving, the act of loving, doing loving things. And so
say that again, Marvin. I want to just so everybody can hear that.
That it's unconditional love.
Unconditional, okay.
And it's not dependent on being loved.
Okay.
But it's dependent on a commitment to love or the act of loving.
That's good.
So it means that I do something because of love.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you're going to do something for me. You know, a lot of people do something for somebody because they expect something in return.
Right.
That's not agape love.
Okay.
Agape love means that I do something for you and I don't even look for anything in return. I do it out of love. And so that's agape love, where it's unconditional, no strings attached.
And so a lot of people find themselves lost right there because it's very easy to get caught up in the world's definition.
The
versus,
give and take.
The give and take versus that of an agape kind of love, where you're doing this selfishly, selflessly. Mm-hmm. Did I say that right?
Selflessly. Mm-hmm.
In terms of your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the person, but it's about the one that you are following, and you're trusting him in terms of how you respond, even when there are situations that you don't completely understand.
Right.
You know that you're going to express an agape kind of love because that's what God requires of you. But when we start trying to play, revenge, and we know that God says that vengeance is mine, and we start trying to act like we are the ones who are going to have the final say-so in terms of how somebody treated us or how we were hurt in the past, then we're setting ourselves up for failure. Isn't that right?
That's right. And a lot of times when we get hurt by someone, then we kind of shut down and close ourselves off, and we don't want to extend love to someone else because we've been hurt in the past. And so we have to move beyond that. That's more of a trust issue than anything else. So we have to, first of all, trust God in where he's leading us. And then we have to extend love to people unconditionally.
Wow. So what's the word tonight before we go forward, Lady Kim, to someone who's perhaps struggling with that and they are still trying to find a way to love somebody unconditionally, but that person is not a believer. What's the word tonight?
Well, it goes back to prayer again.
Okay.
You need to pray and ask God to move you to where you need to be. A lot of times, and I don't know what if I'm going where you want me to go with this, but a lot of times we have to ask God to forgive them. And not only ask God to forgive them, but ask God to forgive us for the way we feel towards them so that we can move to the next level. When we ask God, when we ask the person for forgiveness, then it frees us, it releases us from the pain of the past and that situation, and we are able to move forward.
Well, I was having a conversation recently, and I asked this person about a friend of theirs from the past, and they said that God told them, told her to let that person go, had to cut them off, because it was not a healthy situation for them going forward.
Okay.
And I think many times we get so comfortable in what we're familiar with,
mm-hmm.
and we're even stay in a situation at mm-hmm. the detriment
of our own selves.
Of our own selves, and not doing what God will require of us because of how we feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look around and we'll find ourselves stuck in a rut and still in the same predicament that we could have been released from years ago because of the familiarity of something that we knew was not right or we knew was not pleasing to God, but it just felt good. I mean, it just made me feel good, Reverend, and I just can't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
It might be It might be a habit, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
It could be whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when you have to really get to a place of trusting God. Mm-hmm. If God said he would bring it to pass, then it shall happen. And so you can't carry, I think the scripture in Romans says we need to lay aside
the weight and sin.
The weights and mm-hmm. the sins. Mm-hmm. That does so easily beset us, that does so easily entangle us and trip us up.
That's right.
And so many times, that's something that we have to do, not God. God's not going to do that. He says, you've got to do that.
Amen.
And so we find ourselves trapped and entangled in stuff that God never intended for us to be trapped and entangled
Amen.
In.
Amen. And you know what? It's people sometimes don't want to, like you say, cut people off.
Mm-hmm.
But you can love somebody from afar.
Okay.
You don't have to love them close up. You know, and like we say, love is unconditional. But you have to love yourself enough to want to let go.
That's right.
And let God do what he's trying to do in you. And like you said, sometimes we hold on to people. We hold on to situations. We hold on to stuff to our detriment, when if we just release it and let it go and let God do the work, then we can move forward.
That's good. That's good. Well, I just wanted to interject that because, you know, we're familiar with these verses, but mm-hmm. it's much more there. That's why it's important to understand the context and then get clarity in terms of how people were using their spiritual gifts in a dominant fact, facet
mm-hmm.
to lord it over people and to show that they were superior in terms of their giftedness. When God said, no, that's not even what this is all about. Now, you got all of this stuff going on, but I want to show you a more excellent way.
More excellent way.
I want to show
Glory
you something
God.
Much better than that.
Yes.
I want to show you something at a higher level.
Yes.
I'm not so much interested in you speaking in tongues and don't nobody know what you're talking about other than you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we serve that kind of God who would want us to go around trying to communicate something that nobody understands.
Right, right. Yes.
Am I right?
That's Thank right. You. That's right.
So I'm not taking away from anybody's gift, or, you know, I'm not trying to criticize any of the gifts, but I'm saying that they work in unison and that it's important for us to understand how God has set everything in order so that it might bring glory and honor to the body of Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the lifting up. Where is that in Romans? Until we all come into that perfect union
mm-hmm.
and where we are all flowing in the things of God that will bring edification and glory to the church, the mm-hmm. body of Christ called church, till
Amen.
We grow up in the things of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, you know, this 12th chapter has the 13th chapter has some important things that it says that I think we need to kind of go over, and you know, we can go over pretty quickly.
And if we don't get a chance to do it all tonight, we can always pick it up, start there next week. I know we lay a lot out on the table about what we're going to try to do. But in that scripture in Romans, I don't know where it's actually found.
What scripture you talking
about? The edification of the body and the working. I can look it up. Somebody can, for the perfecting of the saints and mm-hmm. for the
edification for the church.
Mm-hmm. Edification of the body.
Mm-hmm. So you're gonna look that up?
Yeah, I'll look it up.
All right.
And you could go ahead.
All right. You want me to start reading
yes.
the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, starting with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love.
Okay.
Thank you, Sister Myra.
That's
Ephesians 4 and 12. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4 and 12 is the scripture Pastor was talking about.
Here you go. Can you see that? I might not tell you to preach Sunday too, Rabbi, because I...
For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry.
Right
for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That was 12 and 13.
Okay. And so it starts out talking about how he gave gifts among, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teaching mm-hmm. for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body.
Yes.
And so that's what our gifts are all about. And it's important if we keep that in front of us in terms of a model, then it won't be a thing where we are in it for ourselves and trying to get glory and honor and trying to impress people with how spiritual we are.
Amen.
But we're talking about building up, edifying, and moving the body of Christ forward.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And you know, this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians sets it out for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about actions.
Okay.
You know, what we need to do.
Right.
Action words and those action words all describe love. Positive statements. There's mm-hmm. some positive statements about what love does, and then it talks about some negative statements about what love does not do. Amen. But true Christian love is about setting one's own agenda aside for the good of other believers.
That's good.
You know, so it talks about how love is patient and kind and how it actively moves for the good of others. It talks about how love doesn't envy. It doesn't boast, you know. Not even regarding those spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't boast in those. Let's see, what else to say? Patient, love is patient, love is kind.
It does not envy or boast itself, not easily angered.
Right. It's not puffed up.
Not puffed up.
Does not behave rudely. Mm-hmm. Does not seek its own. It's talking about what love does not do.
Yes.
It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. You know, so where it talks about what it's not, it also talks about what it is.
Right.
You know, what you should do. It says love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and love never fails.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And it talked about how these other things will fail.
Right.
But how love will endure. Mm-hmm. Love will last.
So we're talking from this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and the title of the study is What's Love Got to Do with It? Love has everything to do with it. Mm-hmm. Agape love is the order of the day and what God has set in motion for us to function as he would have us to function and to be who he has called us to be, not to become arrogant or puffy, you know, because we have a lot of puffy and arrogant believers walking around.
Amen.
And so, I mean, you know, all of us have a little swag, but I mean, come on now. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
And so we need to do this thing in a way that pleases God, and how important it is for Ephesians 4 to set the tone and set the model, how we're edifying and how we're building up. We're not trying to lord over anybody or override anybody else's gift, but we're doing all of that for the edification of the body of Christ.
Amen.
I got my prayer warriors on there tonight praying
yes.
for me.
That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard you on yesterday when at the end you told me to go back and listen to that. I went back and listened to it.
Yes, we've been praying for you. All right.
Am I doing any better?
You're doing much better. Yep. You couldn't get out the bed for 2 days.
I know, right?
You're doing a whole lot better.
I hate when they were not able to go down to Birmingham, and that really kind of quenched my spirit even more, because we had planned to be there, and I was going to be navigating the service and everything, but that wouldn't have made any sense at all for me to try to do that.
Not at all. You couldn't even get out of bed. You couldn't even go. Talking about driving 3 hours away, you couldn't even sit up in the chair. But praise be to God. Look at you now. You're not 100.
I'm not 100.
You're about 79.9.
And moving forward.
But praise God for that.
So this really chapter, Lady Kim, it serves as a reminder that genuine Christian faith manifests itself primarily through love.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again. Genuine Christian faith manifests itself primarily through love, both towards God and towards one another.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it gets out of that category, then something is real strange. And it's not in line with what God would call you to be about. It causes us to reflect on how we interact with others, and then how we treat our neighbors, and how we interact with the other believers in the body of Christ, and how important it is for us to be gracious, and how important it is for us to be kind and not puffed up,
mm-hmm.
and how we should seek a more excellent way.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's what this 13th chapter is trying to get us to see, as it makes it applicable for us even today.
Amen.
What do you think?
Absolutely. This world has turned to be such a hateful place.
Yeah.
And we need, as Christians, to display more love. Everywhere you turn, hate is being spewed.
Right.
On social media, road rage and shootings and, you know, everywhere you look, something negative is happening. And so I think as people of God, we need to stop focusing on the negative and start focusing on the positive. And those positive things show the kindness of people,
mm-hmm.
the love of God through the kindness of people.
Okay.
So we need to learn how to love, not be puffed up, not be boastful, you know, and just to love our neighbor as ourselves.
And I think you made mention of how when people are struggling with forgiving, they have to first of all be clear in terms of who they are and their love for themselves before they try to figure out how they're going to love somebody else. Because if you don't love yourself, it's going to be hard for
mm-hmm. to love somebody else
the way God would have you to love them, because you're going to have all these negatives coming into play.
Amen. Sister Myra says, genuine Christian faith manifests itself through love towards Christ and others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's it. Well, we're gonna get ready to wrap it up here tonight. And I still got some of this chicken noodle soup that the professor cooked for me. And I'm telling you, I believe that's what really pushed me over the top. And it makes you want to lay down, too. But thank you all so much. Are there any questions or any comments? We're getting ready to wrap it up. And we, by all means, want to entertain any prayer requests. Lady Kim is going to give us a summary or just a kind of a recap of this 13th chapter. And you can read it for yourself and seek God's guidance and make sure that you follow in his direction and his mandate. But I think when we talk about the study of God's word, it's not Bible reading, it's Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't just read it, you have to get into it and allow that word to be a seed in fertile soil unto your soul. And many times you have to allow that word to marinate and then pick it back up. Don't just, scan over it and move to something else. Like you were talking about Sunday, many times we don't even give God a chance to say anything.
That's right. Too busy talking.
Yeah. And so you told the people to go sit down or something, I think.
Shut up and sit down.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
Yeah.
Listen to God.
Listen.
Sister Myra was just quoting you, and then I thought she was speaking in tongues down there.
She looked like she was doing a little tongue.
She was speaking in tongues for a minute, and then she said, quoting pastor.
She was doing a little tongue talking right there. We see you, Miss Myra.
All right. You reverted back to that 12th chapter of First Corinthians.
She went on in tongues.
Yes, but let's kind of tie a bow around this 13th chapter. Paul responds to the Corinthians' overemphasis on certain spiritual gifts by showing them that all these gifts they're talking about are worthless if they are not practiced through godly love.
Mm-hmm.
He provides 14 descriptors of love, all action verbs, all choices made out of a commitment to set self aside and serve others. Choosing to love each other in this way will solve many of the problems Paul has confronted in this letter. The spiritual gifts provide a glimpse of what is knowledgeable, but when the perfect comes, we will know all. Love is the greatest of all these virtues.
Wow, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, Are there any prayer requests as we prepare to close? Thank y'all so very much for being on. We have two different platforms, of course, and we only are viewing the Facebook side, but we have an audience on the streaming side as well. And we're certainly grateful for all of our out-of-town guests who are part of this Bible study tonight. And so we hope that what you've heard and what we discussed tonight has been an inspiration to you, and tried to really provide some leverage in terms of how you need to have an agape kind of love.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We do have a couple of prayer requests.
Okay.
We got word that Sister Alicia Davis had surgery on today. So we're lifting up Sister Alicia Davis in our prayers. Also, Sister Lurleen Goodlow is on our prayer list. She has been put on hospice care. So we want to lift up Sister Lurleen Goodlow in our prayers. And also, Sister Lena Jackson, we want to continue to lift her up in our prayers. She was released from the hospital last week, so we thank God for that.
Okay. Will you go ahead and close her stand with a word
Yes, I will. Let us pray. God, we thank you tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone are worthy to be praised. We ask, God, that you would meet every person at the point of their need that's under the sound of my voice. There are so many prayer requests and prayer concerns. Many people have not expressed their concerns, but you know those concerns, God. You know us intimately and personally because you've numbered the hairs on our heads. So you know us, oh God. We thank you, God, that you not only see us, but you hear our prayers.
Right.
So we thank you tonight, God. And God, we pray for the granddaughter of Sister Marcia Claiborne that has bone cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We pray, oh God, for Sister Lurleen Goodlow in hospice care. We pray for Sister Alicia Davis that has surgery today, God. Continue to heal her like never before. Now, oh God, as we go from this place, we ask that you touch the bereaved today. Touch the Murray family and the loss of Thelma Murray Myers, God. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to bless all of us, oh God, as we go from this platform tonight. Never leave our presence. That we never leave your presence, God. We bless you and we honor you. We ask for healing, grace, and mercies for Pastor Murray tonight, God, as he continues to recover from his cold and condition that's trying to plague him. We thank you for all who have tuned in. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody, for joining on tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Be blessed.